Right, so today's reading is from the Gospel of Mark, which is on page 1003, and we're reading from verse 40 to 45. That's on page 1003. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Thanks, Jamie, very much indeed. Make sure you keep page 1003 open. And let me read to you from verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean." This is a wonderful and simple story, and I think we're going to act it out again to get the full drama of the story. So I'm going to need a couple of volunteers, maybe a couple of kids or a couple of big kids who'd be willing to help. We need a Jesus and we need a man with leprosy. Okay, I can see that. There's Oliver over there and Cordelia over here. Brilliant. Now, Oliver, are you happy to be a man with leprosy? Yeah? Now, I'm going to ask Linda to come and help me with this. You're going to be a man with leprosy. And do you know what leprosy is? Let's get this.
I think it is when you can't get near people, they might catch disease or something.
You're absolutely right. It's when you get a disease where you can't go near people because otherwise they might catch a disease. And do you know what the disease did to your body?
No.
Cordelia, do you know what leprosy did to your body?
Not really.
Not really. Don't worry. Well, it's a skin disease, which meant that you couldn't feel your skin. And so you could very easily get hurt. You could get a sort of injury or a cut or even put your leg or your foot in the fire and you wouldn't be able to feel it. So it was a terrible thing. So we're gonna get you dressed up as a man with leprosy. Are you okay with that? Okay, Oliver, Linda's gonna help. We need to put a few bandages on because often people with leprosy would get bandages. And meanwhile over here, you're Jesus. So we're gonna give you a crown, Cordelia, to represent Jesus. Get the right head size. I try not to snip your hair as well. That looks about right, doesn't it? How's that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great. Okay, let's think a little bit more about leprosy. Oliver here is getting ready to be a man with leprosy. Now, as I said, it was a really serious disease that would affect all of your skin, and you could easily get infections and cuts and burns without knowing it. Let's think about how it affected your health life. Well, we've already thought a little bit about that. Your skin might be covered with sores and burns and things like that. And how about your social life? Well, as Oliver already mentioned, it really affected your social life. You couldn't go near other people. In fact, in the olden days, they used to have a bell to ring so that other people would stay away from you. Couldn't be a very easy way of making friends, could it? That's why people with leprosy, lepers, stayed together. How about your work life? Now, Cordelia, can you imagine how it might affect your work? If you're trying to be at school or get a job, how would there you go. Brilliant. How do you think it might affect your work? Let's get that one.
You wouldn't be able to go.
You wouldn't be able to go to school, would you? You wouldn't be able to go to work. So often people with leprosy, they were really poor as well, and that's why they were often begging in the streets. How about their religious life? Now I'm going to look to someone in the audience here. Can you think of a way in which it affected your religious life, your worship of God? Can anyone think? Yeah, Sam.
Under the Old Testament laws, you would have been unclean.
Yes, can you say a bit more about what unclean means? So does that mean didn't have a bath? Or?
Unfortunately not. It limited the ways in which you could relate to God, so yeah. Limiting you coming to the temple and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Thank you. So you couldn't go to the temple. It affected all of your life, and it affected your future life, because often people would get so ill with leprosy that they would actually die. Now, it's a really serious thing having leprosy, but I'm afraid to say that there's an even greater problem which we have in our own lives, and that is sin. We don't like to think about sin, but actually it's the most obvious truth in the Bible. It's a disease which all of us have, which is worse than leprosy. We already saw, as Sam reminded us, that leprosy affected us spiritually. But sin does all of these things. It affects our social life, our health life, our work life, our religious life, and certainly our future. With sin, if we don't get it rescued, we're going to be cut off from God. In fact, you could say that sin spreads because it goes through all of our bodies and through all of our communities. It spoils because it certainly affects all our friendships and our lives. And sadly, ultimately, it separates. Separates us from God, and it separates us from one another. Do you know, I realised the other day that I'm a bit of a stealer. Now, I don't mean that your vicar, your pastor, has been going around the shops shoplifting, although Jesus can forgive that, if that's you. But I realised that I like to steal God's glory. I like to do things that make me look good, rather than God. And I guess we all do that. And we're all stealers of God's glory. In fact, if anyone's not convinced that they have the sin disease, then try going for the next week without saying, thinking, or doing anything unkind, impure, or unselfish. And if you manage that for a whole week, come back here next week and tell us all, and we'll see how you got on. But sadly, we do have this sin disease, and that's why this guy, Oliver, the leper, is a bit of a picture of us. How are you feeling?
Bad.
Bad. Okay. Well, it's a wonderful day for you, Oliver, because Jesus has come to town. So let's have a look at the story and let's see. And I've got a little part for each of you to read out. Now, that one's for you. Do you want to read these words there? And do you want to read those words there? I just touch him when you get to that point. Okay, great. Okay, if you come a bit closer, Jesus. So we're a couple of thousand years ago, and imagine the scene on this wonderful day when this man with leprosy meets Jesus. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Do you want to get down on your knees, Oliver? That's great. He begged him on his knees. Okay, do you want to read out that bit, if you are willing?
If you are willing, you can make me clean.
Wow, Oscar-winning acting here. This is brilliant. And Jesus was indignant. That meant that he was cross. That's surprising, isn't it? But he must have been cross with how sin and Satan had disfigured this child of God's creation. And Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched the and he said,
I am willing, be clean.
Immediately, the leprosy left him. Let's take off all those bandages. immediately it left him and he was clean. Wow, how are you feeling?
Good.
Jesus, how are you feeling today?
Okay.
Okay. Let's give these guys a round of applause. You can take that with you. You can take that. Now, I just want to zoom in on one of the verses that we looked at in that story, just to help us understand this a bit better. Look at verse 40, the verse that we started with. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, we just need to zoom in on that little phrase, because it's really interesting what the man with leprosy, the leper, says to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, we're going to play the can want game. Okay, let me introduce you to the can and want game. I'm going to need a few volunteers for this. We're going to need 5 volunteers. We can have some older ones as well. So 5 volunteers, people who are willing to... Yes, brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Lucy. Yeah, great. Come on. Is it Charlie? Annabelle? Misha? Misha, sorry, I get you guys muddled up. Come on over. That's great. Let's have a couple of adults as well. Maybe a couple of people willing to... You've just been volunteer, Ben. Okay, and maybe 2 more. Yeah, well done, Alice. Brilliant. Is there a teenager in the house who's willing to... Yeah, great. Well done. Coming up. Now, is that... That's Annabelle, is it? Great. Annabelle, come and join us. Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, now let me tell you how the can-want game works. Now, some things we are able to do, but we don't want to do, and some things we want to do, but we just can't. Let me explain. Jonathan, where's Jonathan? Jonathan over there, he can play the trombone. I'd love to be able to play the trombone. It's one of the coolest instruments, is it? All this. So when it comes to wanting to play the trombone, I get a big tick on that side. But when it comes to can I play the game, well, no way, I can't play that. So we're going to ask you guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, have we got 6? No, we've got 5, this is good, my maths is working out. Now, how about Lucy? You're going to do the first one. Do you know what a Kit Kat is? This is an American... Not, this is British confectionery, okay. And I've got one right here. Do you have these back home in the States?
Yes.
You do as well? Okay, great. Now, here's the question. Can you, and do you want to, eat the Kit Kat? Okay, so...
Yes.
I'm guessing. You want to eat the Kit Kat, do you? Okay, well, that's good. Now, can you... Are you actually able to put it in your mouth? Like, am I going to let you have it? No? You're not gonna eat this Kit Kat in church? Do you wanna take it? Do you wanna open it up and eat it right now? Yeah, go for it. Okay. So you can see that she's willing to have the Kit Kat, but actually she really wants to eat the Kit Kat as well. Okay, let's move on to our second one. Okay. Let's go to Ben for this one. Okay. Ben, there's the moon. It's not a very bright picture, but would you like to go to the moon?
Yes.
Yes?
Would like to go to the
you would
moon.
Like to go to the moon.
I'd
and
love to go to the moon.
Can you go to the moon?
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, afraid not. Unless
application to NASA
hasn't come through yet. Okay, so you want to go to the moon, but you can't. We're getting the hang of this. Let's go to our next one. Who's next in line? So, Misha. Misha, brilliant. Misha, would you... can you do a run? Yeah. Do you want to do a run right in front of us now? Maybe all round the. If no one was here, okay. So you can do the run, but you, at the moment you don't really want to. Okay, I didn't know quite what you were going to say, so we'll go for the question mark there. Okay, so she can do a run. She could run right laps all round this room if she wanted. But she's not going to. Okay, this one is for Annabelle. So, Alice, you want to just swap places? Okay. Now, okay, here's your room. I don't know if this is accurate. What's your room? Is it very tidy? It's very clean and tidy, is it, your room? Okay, well, can you tidy your room?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tidy your room?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is good. We're getting the idea of this. Some things we can do and some things we want to do. Alice, do any of your children ever get sick?
Yes.
And you're actually a doctor, aren't you? This might not quite work. Do you want to heal all sicknesses and things that come into your surgery?
Yes,
okay. And actually, can you deal with every disease that comes your way? No? You mean that some doctors can't actually deal with... No? Okay, so you'd like to be able to, but you can't. Okay. Well, when it came to Jesus, let's go back to a verse. Let me read it out to you. And I've sort of spelt this out a little bit, laboured the point a little bit. But do you see that Jesus, when the guy comes to Jesus, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So this man with leprosy, he knows that Jesus can clean him up. He knows that he's able to. Now, maybe not every one of us here today believes in Jesus. Maybe we think he was just a figure of history and no one particularly special. Maybe the gospel stories were kind of over-exaggerated. But this guy, for real, he really did think that Jesus could clean him up. He realized that Jesus could get rid of all his bandages, get rid of all his sickness. But the big question was, did he want to? And this verse shows us that he does. And it's a simple point, but it's a really wonderful point when we grasp this. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He was cross. He reached out his hand, as we've seen, and he touched the man. I am willing. Jesus really does want to reach out to us and clean us up on the inside. This is such wonderful news. It doesn't mean that he's going to do everything that we want in our lives. Doesn't mean that necessarily we're going to be healed of all sicknesses. Not even some doctors can do that. Jesus wonderfully does heal in this life, but there's no promise that he will. But wonderfully, Jesus is able to, he does want to clean us on the inside and deal with our deepest problem of sin. Why don't you guys all go and take a seat? You can see that Joshua is both willing and able to ask for his mother. We're going to take a little pause now, and we're going to sing together. We're going to sing a song which speaks of this willingness of Jesus to come and rescue us. I was 11 years old when I first asked Jesus to come and to clean me up, if he was willing, and wonderfully he is. So let's celebrate together in Jesus' great goodness in the words of this next song. When I was lost, you came and rescued me. Let's stand and sing. Great. Now, I can see that most of the young children have taken a seat over there, which is great. We've got some colouring activities for the littlest ones. But for the older kids and for the adults, we've got a bit of a question to think about. And the question is this. We've been thinking about the sin disease, which is a little bit like leprosy, how it spreads, how it spoils, and how it separates. And we've been thinking about how Jesus wonderfully can and is willing to. He wants to clean us up on the inside. But I've got a bit of a question. I don't know if you thought this when the reading was being done by Jamie. Just have a look down to verse 43. Page 1003, if you lost your page. Now, this is a chance to turn to our neighbours and try and think through the question, why the secret? Why is it that Jesus didn't want him to spread the word? Let me read to you verse 43 again. Jesus sent the man with leprosy away at once with a strong warning. That word strong warning is really strong. It could be sternly charged or scolded or even rebuked harshly. He told him, verse 44, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Okay, why the secret? Why did Jesus tell him not to spread the word? We've got a lady in our church who had a cancer operation. And when the doctor told her that she was completely without cancer, Of course you wanted to tell everyone. And that's what you do when you get good news. So just turn to your neighbour. Why do you think it was that Jesus said in verse 44, see that you don't tell this to anyone? Okay, have a go. And chat amongst yourselves.
Okay, let me call you back together. Great, you don't need to share your thoughts out loud. But let me just point out to you a few places in Mark's Gospel where this kind of secret happens. In Mark chapter 1, verse 25, we saw this a couple of weeks ago, Jesus, one of the evil spirits, knows who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God, and Jesus says, be quiet. That wasn't just telling him to sort of get lost. It was also telling him to be quiet, not to spread the news. Again, in a passage we saw recently, Jesus would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, that's interesting. Surely it's right to know who Jesus was and to spread that message. And then in chapter 8, when Peter is talking to Jesus on the road near Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks, who do people think that I am? And then he says, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You're the king. Well, that's everything that Mark's gospel has been pointing to. So why is it that Jesus tells them not to tell anyone about him? It's quite strange. Some people say that it was because Mark had to tone down what people at first were saying about Jesus, that he wasn't really the Messiah, and so they kind of turned the volume down on that part. Well, that can't be right, because Jesus is the Messiah. We've seen that. Even more strangely, some people have suggested that it's to show that Jesus is like the Greek god, the Greek hero Odysseus, who had a kind of identity secret as well. Well, that's a bit strange. We don't think that the Bible and ancient Greek myths are all interwoven. No, I think that the passage that helps us is that passage at the end where Peter is discovers who Jesus is, and at last one of Jesus' disciples says that Jesus is the Messiah, and then Jesus tells him not to spread the message. And the reason for that is that Peter doesn't quite see what kind of a Messiah he is. Half knowledge can be dangerous. Let me give you a slightly silly illustration. When we moved into our new house a couple of weeks ago, there was a problem with the internet, and it turned out that our phone line had come detached from the telegraph pole outside our house. So an engineer had to go up there, and he sorted it out. Now, just imagine if I said to the engineer, well, do you know, I rewired a plug the other day. So I'm a bit of an expert when it comes to electrics. Do you mind if I just shimmy up there and sort of sort it out? I think, rightly, he would have said, no way, that's completely against all health and safety. But apart from that, you probably don't know how to rewire a telegraph pole. It's a completely different thing from rewiring a plug. Half knowledge, a small amount of knowledge, can be dangerous if it's not fully worked out. And you see, people could see that Jesus was the Messiah. People were beginning to see that he was the King of Kings that God had promised from before. But they thought that he was a different kind of Messiah. They all flocked to Jesus as a healing Messiah ahead of being a sin-saving Messiah. Now, Jesus does heal diseases, and we see that in this very passage, because he's full of compassion and he deals with the whole person. But he wants to get to the deep root of sin, of which leprosy is a picture. It's not just a disease, it's got this unclean element as well. And wonderfully, Jesus goes to the right to the core, right to the foundation of the problem. Did you see in verse 44 that Jesus told him not to tell anyone, but to go and show himself to the priest? In the Old Testament, embedded in the Old Testament law, there was this possibility that if someone got cleaned up from leprosy, they could go to the priest and they would declare them clean. In other words, they've been completely dealt with from their uncleanliness problem. And wonderfully, here is the point when it can be used. It's a bit like a computer programmer programming some code into their code, which isn't relevant until a date in the future. Maybe some of you are computer programmers. I know that we've got one or two in our church. Imagine if you have to program some code that kind of helps a car to do its sat-nav. And you embed into your code some code that helps a flying car to be able to park. Well, hang on. We don't have flying cars yet. You're projecting something for the future which isn't yet ready, which is one day going to be necessary to park a flying car. And in the Old Testament, there was this code that was only going to come relevant one day when someone could come along and could heal someone from leprosy. People didn't normally get healed from leprosy in the Old Testament. It did happen one or two times with Miriam and with Naaman. But wonderfully, when Jesus came along, he could actually deal with the heart of the problem and he could cleanse people from leprosy. So Jesus used the code that had been embedded in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 14 many hundreds of years before. This was showing that Jesus is the Messiah who can deal with our uncleanness on the inside. And sadly, we see that in verse 45, this man goes out and he talks freely. He spreads the word about Jesus as a healer. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places because people came for the surface issue, but not for the foundation issue. And as a result, Jesus was hounded. And yet people still came to him when he went out to the desert places as well. Well, let's bring this all together for us. We've been seeing that sin is a deep problem inside us. It's a dangerous problem that sin that spreads, that spoils, that separates. But wonderfully, Jesus both can and wants to deal with us. When we pray, when we ask Jesus to help us in our lives, he longs to do it. When we come to him with our deepest problem and we say, Jesus, there is a problem in my heart. I am a habitual stealer of your glory. I'm not faithful to you. I don't glorify you as you are. When we come to Jesus with that problem, he loves to reach out to us. It's not just that he is able to deal with our sin, but he really wants to as well. And that is such wonderful news. Let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we've seen this morning how deep our sin problem is. And while we don't like to admit it, we know when we're honest with ourselves that we haven't loved you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We know, Lord, that sin spoils our world and it separates us from you and it spreads throughout our society. And therefore, Lord, we know that the real problem with Huntingdon, with our families, with our offices, and with our own lives is our sinful heart. We thank you for this beautiful picture in Mark chapter 1 of Jesus' ability, but also his willingness to reach out to us and to clean us up when we are willing to come to him. Please help each one of us to do that. And once we've done that, to rejoice in his wonderful cleansing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.